One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Thank you so very much for joining us here again on Expanded Perspectives with me, Grumps. And sitting next to me, as always, locked and loaded in his grandpa era, Poppy.
That's right, Big
son,
Poppy.
Big Poppy. Son of Pop Pop.
That's right. I'm the son of Pop Pop. Right. Yeah, like in the old days, they'd always call you the son of somebody else.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. It is a beautiful day in Texas. The weather is just about perfect the last 2 days.
It's the best.
Sunny, not a cloud in the sky, and about 72 degrees. It is amazing. I wish it would just stay like this.
And you had hair.
And I had hair. And 10 less pounds.
What?
And
you're just going to stop at 10?
Well, I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to be greedy. I'm not saying that's not my ideal weight. I could use more, but I don't want to be too greedy. If you're greedy with the universe, it's going to come back and punish you.
I just need I need 10 less pounds and hair.
Hair and weather like this for 6 months. I still want winter because I do enjoy the fall.
Oh, God.
But it's perfect. It's so perfect that I keep finding myself going outside and I'm like inventing things to do just so I'm outside.
So you're outdoors.
Like yesterday, we just drove all over. We went to Mineral Wells, we went to Witt, we went to Perrin, we went to Springtown. We were just driving around.
You said you were going to kill her and drop her body in one of those towns.
I was looking for a good location. Sorry, I'm looking for a good spot to make
it
disappear.
Here first.
I have a dark zone somewhere I found.
We went to the Renaissance Fair.
Oh, how was that?
Amazing.
Yeah.
The weather was great.
Yeah, yes.
That's what made it so great. Turnout, everything. It's always fun there, right? I mean, it's one of those deals. And I may have told you this last time.
How many bows did you see strung backwards?
Several.
Every time I keep a count, I'm like,
yeah. Every time. I want to give a class. This is bad. The Falconer.
Yeah.
That we saw in junior high, still there.
I know.
I think he's 118, he's still there. He looks like Santa Claus.
Did you enjoy the show of the raptors?
Yes, I enjoy that.
The little owls.
I'll tell you what I've gotten to where I enjoy more of is the silliness of those that are like that do the juggling and like the fire swinging stuff, and they got the whip cracking. They have all this crazy stuff. I don't know. It's just fun to kind of go to that. But I've not been to the great big one. This is just the Scarborough Renaissance.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Did you see the guy on stilts that looks like a baby?
No.
It's terrifying.
I did not. But I did see, I don't know what it is about this, and I don't hope I don't rub anybody wrong, but when you go to a Renaissance fair in medieval time, I don't think that there's like Jedi Knights and
Deadpool and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying.
It was like a cosplay convention, and I'm like, I'm down, but it seems like a weird place to want to dress up like a Mandalorian.
Yeah, I agree. Right.
So I don't get that.
Know what genre you're in.
Yeah, I don't get that. But as far as everything else was great, you know what's really fun is everybody there is super nice.
Yeah.
Everybody's
having a good time, right?
Everybody's having good times. Yeah, it was great. The food was good. Of course, you could smell it cooking and roasting through there. It's just a good time.
Were you there all day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We were there from when it opened till when it closed.
Really?
Yeah. My feet are tired.
Yeah.
That's it. We walked a lot. I don't know how. I'm going to say a lot. And the granddaughter's feet, she's got to be wore out because those little legs covered a lot of land.
Did she see the mermaids?
Oh, she went to the mermaids twice.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, twice. She got fairy wings. She had a dress. They'd got her a dress, and she had her little tiara on and her wand, and they're pushing her around in the big wonderful thing, pushing her through that. And then we get out to go to the, like, everybody that when they have the parade, she's waving at everybody and they're coming and waving at her and m'lady when they go by and she's all tickled about that. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of her new favorite things.
Well, speaking of Faye.
Yeah.
Check this out. A woman from Arizona wrote into the show. And yes. She said that this happened in the 1970s when she was a child. She said, I was between the ages of 6 and 10 years old. I was in bed trying to go to sleep, lying on my left side. I looked at the crumpled blanket over my right hip, and sitting on top of it, studying me, was what I would describe as a small, 8 to 10 inches tall, old, gray hair and beard man. He wasn't threatening. He was just there observing me.
It was my mini-me.
As he started to rise and move away from me, I hid my face under my blanket. When I was brave enough to come out again, he was gone. My bedroom lights were out, but my eyes were dilated enough to see some of my room with the hall light coming from underneath the door. I don't remember feeling his weight or movement as far as how he was dressed. It was more like a leprechaun than it was a fairy. An old man with white hair and a white beard. It was dark, so his clothes and hat looked gray. The hat was pointed, though, but soft and flopped over to one side. His clothes looked old-fashioned and handmade, maybe 18th century or older. No coat or jacket. Fairies are beings that share our world beyond our conscious minds. I know what I saw, Jennifer.
Awesome.
Crazy, right?
That's awesome.
A fae, just a little tiny dude.
That's the cat's eye dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a, yeah.
I do enjoy the stories, though, of when the fae like that are like 8 inches, maybe 10 inches max.
Yeah.
Because you could, where was that video? You remember there was a video, I think it was somewhere, was it in South America?
I think it was like El Salvador or something.
When it looked like the little cat's eye troll come running out.
Yeah, and I've also seen videos of where it looked like a cat crossing the street and then it like morphed into a little dude.
Yep.
Like it's like that, not just fae, but a shape-shifting fae.
Dude, that's cool.
It makes you wonder when you see like a squirrel or something out of place. Maybe it's Faye disguising itself.
Well, look at all those stories we got about the trash bag dwindies that we were like trash bags you would see blowing and then or any kind of plastic and then it morphs into something.
Do you remember that video Step had back in the day where it looks like I'm trying to think of like the dogs that have dreadlocks, you know what I'm the breed. I can't think of the breed, but it looked like something like that moving across the
field. It looked like a foo dog.
Yes, but do you remember
the way
that
it
video?
Was streaming off of it? Yeah. And it looked like it was.
Still don't know what it is.
No.
I think of the trash bag to Wendy when I think of that old video.
Every time I think of it, I think of round bell twine. And I think of the way it like feathers out.
Right.
When it's stringing off of it. But this was a giant.
But it was connected to something, right? Like maybe it was a coyote got caught up in it.
Yeah, something.
I don't know.
It was wild.
And when I've tried to go back and get copies of it, he doesn't know what he had. It's old VHS recording from like the 90s.
And even then, it was hard to see, even when it was the actual recording.
Yeah, yeah.
But, dude, yeah, that was pretty crazy. Look, I've got, if we're going to talk about Faye and little people.
I got a couple stories about Faye today.
You got more Faye?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
I love the story, so.
Well, this is the only Faye that I have right now. And of course, Lon hooks me up all the time. Get a load of this one, folks. This took place on I-20 near Monroe, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is.
A 3-foot-tall little person and a brilliant yellow light. Get a load of this right here. On the night, around 9:30 p.m., of November 10th, 2014, I was driving home on I-20 headed west. I'd been in Jackson, Mississippi visiting relatives, and I was headed home to Shreveport, Louisiana. Now, I make this trip many times a year, but I saw something that night that I cannot explain. I was approaching Monroe, Louisiana, near the turnoff to Garrett Road, and I noticed something on the connecting road between the eastbound and westbound lanes. Now, other people noticed it because the brake lights on the vehicles were lighting up, and as I slowed and I got nearer, I could see that it was a little person running around in a circle with its arm extended like it was imitating an airplane. Now, since it was dark, I couldn't make out any features. But at the same time, some of the vehicles had practically stopped, and I pulled off onto the turnoff shoulder. I was afraid that it was a child. I called 911 and was told that others had made similar calls. So I got out of my car, and then I noticed that a police cruiser was in the eastbound lane approaching the little person. I stood at the back of my car and watched. The police officer pulled into the connecting road And at the same time, this little person was running away on the grassy median, heading west in my direction. Now, it was still difficult to make out the features on this little person, but I could now see that it was not a child. It was dressed in what looked like a long, dark-colored cloak, stood about 3 foot tall, and was making a hideous squealing sound that reminded me of a scared pig. Sounds like a Jawa.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Jawas are sprinting down the median. It continued to run west and pass me. There was another police cruiser in the westbound lane shining a spotlight on this little person. Then suddenly a huge, brilliant yellow light flashed from above this little thing. It was blinding and lasted less than a second. I was shocked and stunned. My knees became weak, and I needed to get back in my car just to sit down. I looked out my window and didn't see any spotlights or vehicle lights. It was completely dark. Even the highway lights were off. I tried to start my car, and it wouldn't even turn over. I just sat there dumbfounded, wondering what had happened. Then, after 20 or 30 seconds, the car turned over, and all the highway and traffic lights came back on, and I didn't see that little person after that. I pulled onto the turnoff and eventually found my way back onto I-20, heading west towards home. I still don't know what happened that night. I do believe that there was lost time since I noticed that my clock showed 10:13. So for several weeks, I was hoping that there would be some news about this incident, but I never noticed anything. I contacted the police in Monroe area. There was no record, according to them, of any calls, and that was very unusual. I know this incident occurred, that there were many witnesses who lost power to their vehicles as well. Do you have any suggestions on who I can contact? Thank you, H.
Wow.
Right now, it makes me wonder this. If there's no recording of it, right, there's nobody, the police say nothing happened. What right. if it only happened to H?
Right, exactly.
You didn't really see any of that stuff. That's something that they implanted. Maybe it's bits and pieces. Maybe that missing time was something that happened.
I was going to say, the most thing that stands out to me is the missing time.
Now, I will say this. I've been on the road when there's been a bright lightning strike, and you can see the lights shut off. Like, you've been in town when it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all the photo eye, right, that shuts it all down. But the idea of there being a bright strike or a bright flash, and your car doesn't start for yeah. like a minute or two, it's like everything's dead, and then it comes back on. I've never seen lightning do that, so probably something with
intelligence. Well, what's very popular in UFO sightings is your cars go dead.
Exactly.
Cell phones don't work. Everything goes haywire, right?
So here's what it sounds like to me. Maybe this little person was indeed an alien, right?
Okay.
But he sounds like maybe this one had a little too much fun, got a little too drunk, ran off. His buddies were looking for him. We've all had that friend where you got to chase them down to find them when they're hammered. Next thing you know, you're like, did y'all see Roger the other night? We was on Earth. You're not going to believe this. We was on Earth. He got liquored up and was pretending to be one of their primitive airplanes in the middle of one of their primitive travel areas.
Roger likes Four Locos, right?
He loves Four Locos. Mixes Four Loco with like Red Bull, whatever else he could do. Yeah, he just loves getting amped up. So maybe that's all it was. It was just some drunk alien. So
wild story though, right?
Wild, wild story.
I got another one here that's pretty crazy. This is from Tom, writes in from Arkansas, and he said that this event took place around 2010. He said he was alone, just working in his garden, and he said he saw a large, what he believed to be an insect, flying in his shaded garden. So he said, I began to stalk it with varying degrees of success. It seemed to be about 5 or 6 inches in length with large wings. At first, I thought it was a large praying mantis, but as I moved slowly toward it, I realized that it wasn't a mantis, but rather a humanoid figure with two sets of wings, a head, and a set of arms and legs. I must have startled it because it flew right at me. Frankly, I was scared and ran away as quick as I could. It had shining, bluish wings and black arms and legs. It definitely had arms and legs, but it didn't have six legs or antennas or anything like that. I've never been so scared or filled with awe in my life. It looked like a winged little person. I only heard the hum of the wings. This was in the backyard of my garden and flower hedge. I'm telling you, it looked like a fairy. I believe fairies are either physical beings or visitors from another dimension or reality. This was a wonderful but scary life-changing event. Tom.
Wow.
So he saw, like, you know, the classic Pixie.
The Pixies, yeah. Right?
Like Tinkerbell or something. Very,
that's cool.
Very interesting. I love stories like that. I've talked to people off air who have shared encounters that they've had while gardening.
Oh, yeah.
So something about that. So when I'm in the garden, I keep my eyes open. I've never seen anything yet. I just see pesky caterpillars eating my squash or something like that. But I will say there's a tree that I have a bird feeder hanging from that's mm-hmm. near my garden. And just as a blessing to maybe help my garden this year, I offered a little bit of milk, a little shot of some vodka, and I put a little honey out there. I'm just, hey, if there's any fairies hanging around, you want to protect my garden for me?
Have at it.
Hook me up and I'll hook you up. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Hey, that's right.
Good vibes, right?
Right. You help these things produce, I'll give you a gallon of milk.
Dude, and producing, it's going to be all this rain.
Oh,
my garden is... It's going to be popping in a couple weeks. You're going to have so much salsa.
We'll be making salsa.
I got peppers. I got all of them. I'm just going to bring you over a salsa starter kit when I come over.
Every
and
time.
Like, here you go. I got everything. I even got cilantro growing. I got red onions, peppers.
You and Dave.
Good to
you'll
go.
You'll be trading back and forth. His is going to be blowing. It's going to be crazy.
I'll bet you I can make a better thing of salsa than Dave can.
You think so? Well, because you're growing all of it.
Yeah.
He's got bits and pieces that he's growing. I got a story here for you that takes place in Talavera de la Reina, Toledo, Spain. Get a shot at this. That this all went down. Again, am I going to go through it here? Talavera de la Reina, Toledo, Spain, on August 21st of 2014. During the night, the main witness and his two friends had gone to perform some meditation exercises in a field near a local extension bridge. After some silent meditation, a luminous sphere, a third the size of the moon, descended to hover over the men. Now, at first, the witness attempted to ignore the object, but was suddenly struck by a powerful electric current. A minute later, the large sphere vanished, but not before a smaller luminous sphere was seen to detach itself from the larger one. Curious, the three friends looked around and walked alongside a wall that was about 2.5 meters in length, which connected two posts. These, of course, all went along for a field that was about a mile long. As they searched the area, they began to notice a very strong sulfuric odor around them, and the temperature seemed to rise also. The witness decided to run ahead of his two friends to reach the end of the wall. As he ran, he suddenly heard his friends yelling at him to stop and to please come back. The witness then stopped, turned around, running back to his friends, who stood about 100 meters away. His two friends then told him that while he ran, they had seen on the other side of the wall a strange figure, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
At least 3 to 4 meters in height, which seemed to slide at high speed right above the ground in his direction.
So it's like hovering.
Yes, just gliding along. As his friends began to scream, the figure seemed to hide behind a tree only about 5 meters away from the witness on the other side of the wall. At that very moment, the witness turns around and sees, standing behind the tree, a gigantic figure, again, 3 to 4 meters tall, with eyes that shone a bright golden yellow light. He stared in disbelief at this figure's eyes as it stared back at him. At that moment, only he could think that, well, what this creature was probably going to grab him, and then he yelled at his friends to run. All three of them took off running for their lives. At least that was the feeling among the witnesses. As they ran, they looked behind them and could see the huge figure sliding on top of the wall, apparently following the men. They ran until the road ended, and then they ran across a wooded field near the bridge. Upon reaching the main road, the strange figure had thankfully disappeared. The next day, the witnesses returned to the scene and was stunned to see that the tree, which the creature had briefly hidden behind, was about 8 meters in height, and he was now convinced that the creature was almost as tall as the tree itself, making a much taller than 4 meters. He searched around and found an area of flattened and scorched grass. The odor was no longer present, and according to his two friends, as they ran, their legs felt numb, as if being pricked by sharp needles, which impeded their progress. The witness states that he did not feel this. All three men reported that as they entered the field running away from the gigantic figure, they were enveloped in some sort of spider web, which covered their faces, making visibility almost impossible. They eventually freed themselves from the strange web-like substance and left the area. According to the witness, the trees in the area were mostly dried up with little vegetation, and he's never seen spiders or webs anywhere in that area.
What?
Kind of wild sighting
kind
was that?
Kind of crazy story. So there's a few things that I'm confused about. The first one is, what happened to the dude that got struck by a lightning or whatever in the beginning? I mean, is his buddy okay? And just, they were out there meditating and just...
But it felt like he got struck by an electric current.
Then they said that the thing was between 3 and 4 meters tall.
Now they think it's like 8 meters tall.
Yeah, like four. That's an insane story.
Well, what it sounds like is some sort of like shadow being.
Yeah.
Of more than like a creature.
But in association with UFOs, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very slight.
Crazy UFO shadow being.
Maybe aliens are shadow beings.
Maybe they are.
You know, I don't know.
I hope y'all like those crazy, creepy, unsettling stories. Because if you did, we got more coming up. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break. We got to pay the bills. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
And we are back.
Yes.
Here we go. What have you got for
me? I got a crazy UFO sighting.
Okay. This isn't your face stuff.
No, this
is just a wild UFO sighting.
Yeah, you were telling me the wild story about the 4 meter tall shadow being that came out of a orb a third of the side of the moon.
I was going to ask you a question too.
Yeah.
What is the name of, there's a movie, and I want to say it is a vampire movie of some sort or something, where the guy's eyes start glowing. Like after he talks, he turns to walk away. That's what it, because they're talking about the glowing eyes.
Man, I don't know.
Like it looks like that. It's not Scanners, or I think it's an actual vampire film or something, but there's one, you know, where the light's like shining out of them and almost like a craziness. Cause I was thinking about, that film, but there's another one I can't remember the name of, but that's what it is. It's like the glowing eyes where it's with this thing seems like the light was on the inside. There wasn't light reflecting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's light right on the inside.
Sounds like an energy vampire.
Colin Robinson.
You know what scared? I remember a movie about energy vampires that scared me as a kid. Do you remember the old movie Life Force, where they're like space vampires? It's like a British movie.
Dude, I forgot all about that.
I saw it. It's not that scary, but when I was 10, it was, right? So when I was like 10, I saw it. I was like, holy cow.
I started to text you the other day. I forgot what channel it was. Communion was coming on.
That's still creepy.
Yeah, that's still a creepy show.
We met Whitley
at
a conference somewhere.
Yeah.
Pretty cool guy, but that movie was terrifying.
And then you got to tell him that you were terrified of it as a child.
Because it's just like peeking behind the curtain. I'm like, I'm sleeping with my Spas 12. You know what I'm saying?
The same as like when you can see it in Signs when it steps off into the cornfield. Like, I don't need to see
that. Okay. That's funny that you say that. If I see like a cornfield and at night, like I instantly think of that movie.
Every time, man.
I'm like, man. Because there was a corn maze here for Halloween you could pay. And we thought about taking Luke there a couple years ago, but I was like, you know what? I really don't want to walk around in a cornfield at night.
You remember I did all that cornfield stuff where all the creepy things that happen in a cornfield.
Yeah, that's
I covered
right.
that, a whole bunch of crazy things and creepy things that gone on in and around cornfields.
Anyways, let's get to the UFO story. It says,
lay it on me.
So I wanted to share my own little UFO experience. Taking a risk because people are cruel and judgmental. I'm surprised about how many people had not had an experience like this. I guess it's about location. My experience blew me away. It was the infamous Illinois event, a big triangle airship that was sighted over parts of southern Illinois and Indiana, and I got to be one of those lucky witnesses. So my story starts out where we're at a friend's log cabin she had recently built out in the boonies here in southern Indiana. In the boonies, there's no street lights or anything. Now, to many folks, there's not that many houses around. So we're out there, and I'm with my family, and it's a winter's night. We'd been there for an hour or so, and we were all inside. All of a sudden, I just got this really strange feeling that I needed to go outside. I can't explain it. I just felt the urge to go outside. So I couldn't ignore this feeling. I just kept feeling that I needed to go outside on the porch. Now it's winter, so I grabbed my hat, my jacket, and my gloves, and I tell my husband I'm going out to hang on the front porch for a little bit and get a breath of fresh air. I don't explain anything further, but I just have this feeling that I need to go outside. So I go out there, and I remember looking up at the sky. It's beautiful, a starry winter sky. I love the winter. I remember looking to my left, you know, and seeing the stars, and I remember panning my head to the right, and right there is blocked out stars. It's black. I can't see the stars anymore. I'm looking, and it's in the shape of a triangle, and it's huge. I'm like focusing and trying to wrap my brain around what I'm seeing, and it's hovering, but it's got a slow forward motion to it, just ever so slightly, and it's completely quiet. I mean, I didn't even know that it would have been there had I not been looking up at the sky. If I had just been standing on the porch and not looking up, I would have never known that it was even there. So I'm watching it, and by the time I gather myself and get my head together, I want someone else to see it too. Now, I don't want to be the only one to see this thing, so I'm pounding on the windows. I'm pounding on the front door, and everybody else is inside because it's wintertime. I can't get anyone's attention. By the time I get their attention, they come outside. It had already started to move out of the field of vision because we were surrounded by trees, which are now blocking it. I mean, like, you know, evergreens and stuff blocking the view of this craft. So I'm like, man, no one else sees this thing but me. Story of my life, right? So I'm freaking out and I'm telling my husband, dude, there was this UFO. It was right there. As close as, you know, the trees, the treetops. It was just right there. I mean, I was watching it. It was looking and it was just watching it. Well, it creeped me out because I felt like I was the only one that had this story. And I got this weird feeling when I was studying it that it was watching me. And I didn't like that. It gave me a big bother feeling, you know? What helped me feel better was the next day. I wasn't the only one that had seen it, as there were actually police officers in the state of Illinois that witnessed this exact same craft as well. So I was thankful that I wasn't alone in this experience, and it's changed me in so many new ways. I was very profound. It was very profound when it happened to me. I'm an adult and grown up, and it was really unnerving and feeling that it gave me. I can't explain it. So I thought I'd share my creepy story of my triangle-shaped UFO in southern Indiana. Well, thanks for sharing it.
Wow.
It does have to be a better feeling if some other people witness it.
Oh, 100%.
If you witness something and it's only you, because I had that experience with my orb sighting.
Yeah.
Until I heard the other hunter bring it up, I felt like I was the only one. And I was like, man, I don't know what I saw.
And especially being at that age.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't say anything about this. They'll never let me either live it down or hunt by myself again. You're like, what, are you afraid of the dark? Is that what you're trying to tell me? You
know, exactly. That's exactly deals. What guys would do, right? That's what they would do. And then, yeah, then the torture would just begin. So I never said nothing. Then when you hear a grown man, you see a grown man freaking out telling the story. I'm like, dude.
I saw that.
But it made me feel better.
Yeah.
The validation. So I'm sure the person that saw the UFO.
100%.
The other people are like, man, we saw a big triangle UFO. So you're like, dude, I'm not crazy. I don't know.
It's got to be better like that, though. Yeah, you need validation so you know you're not losing your mind.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about some of this in the past, and you brought it up not long ago about the giant owls. Right? We'd brought up little stories from that.
Mike Cleland.
Yeah.
Wrote a book or two about it, and it's pretty universal where, for whatever reason, when these alien abductions happen and they implant false memories in your brain, that for whatever reason they like to disguise themselves as an owl, and it may be because of their large almond shaped eyes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But anyways, go ahead.
Well, what's funny is we have those accounts to where it looks like a 3 foot tall owl, maybe a 4 foot tall owl, which is kind of goes hand in hand, like you pointed out, with the UFO stuff. This isn't that. There's more stories coming in and more of them popping up of people seeing like owl man, like a large owl humanoid, not like Mothman, like right, more of an right. owl.
Yeah, there was a rash of sightings somewhere in England, the owl man of man, I don't know if it was Yorkshire or something like that, but there was an area where span of a couple weeks,
yeah,
or months, there were several sightings of this owl man.
So Maria sends this. Now listen to this. Maria writes this whole thing down and says, it was an afternoon in late May of 2021. I remember it was later in the afternoon, early evening, but it was a slightly overcast and gray day. So I can't tell you from memory if it was dusk or earlier. I live near a nature conservation area in the Central Florida area. My husband and I were very fortunate to find our property. Ample acreage, heavily wooded to the point where you could not see our neighbors. You don't even notice them. We don't see any lights from their homes. And that we lovingly call our home the swamp. Now, I was outside in our driveway, which is the only cleared space on our land, save for a natural circular clearing in our woods. Oh, sounds like a furry circle there. I was walking back to our porch when, for some reason, I was compelled to turn and look back to the tree line, which is about 100 feet from our house. Now, I do want to note that there was not a single ounce of fear in me. In fact, I was quite calm when I made eye contact with it. At first, it didn't register what I was looking at. I knew it was an owl, which for my woods is not an uncommon sighting. But then it kind of shifted, and I saw more of it. It was not just an owl. It was the head of an owl on what I can only describe as the shoulders of a human. And it looked like it was wearing a dark cloak, either made of dark foliage or feathers. It was tall, and from the trees around it, I guessed probably 7 feet or so. And it just looked at me, and I looked back at it. Then I looked around, blinked for a minute, sincerely thinking that it was a trick of the lighting or my mind creating a thing where there was nothing. But no, when I looked back, it was still there, calm and unmoving. I was still unafraid, which is not normal for me, as I can freak myself out very easily. And for some reason, I felt another urge, this time to nod. So I nodded towards it like I was showing my acknowledgement of it. It felt natural and right to do so. Then turned and went inside my home. I did not go back outside that day, but the next morning I went back out and stood in the exact same place on my porch to look at what it may have been. And there was nothing, nothing that I could even remotely try to place as it. The space where it stood was between two trees at the opening of the forest, at the tree line leading back to a small or that small clearing. There was no low-hanging branches, no large leaves, no anything that I could trick myself into believing that that was what I'd actually seen. And I've not seen it since then. I did some mild searching on the internet, but found nothing even remotely close to it, so I just let it go. Until today, when I heard a story that talked about more like what I had seen.
Oh.
So, I wanted to hit you with that little story there. Of what Maria sent in.
The owl man was wearing a cloak?
Looked like a cloak. It could have been feathers.
Sure.
Right? Like they're told, it could have been foliage on it.
I want to believe it was wearing a cloak.
Well, I'm okay with that. I'm 100% okay with that because.
Aarakocra, right? What are those
now,
things?
Yeah, that's it. There you go. An Aarakocra. Yeah. Don't forget. Now, I'm going to read you this one. This is something that took place about, it's been several years back now, took place in Michigan. It says, I live in the U.S. Midwest, 30 miles from Lake Michigan. I don't scare easy or believe in much unexplained, but there's definitely an undiscovered species of giant gray owl that cut through the neighborhood and woods where I used to live. I later assumed it migrates because I staked out the spot for a month afterwards, armed with a night vision camcorder, hoping to prove what I had told a few people. A few believed me because, well, I'm not a liar, and I'm also willing to help people. The first time I was told about something strange in this area, I didn't even believe it myself. It happened in the very same spot I saw this owl. I really don't care for the person that said he'd seen it or seen this 4-foot owl, so I had dismissed it completely and just enjoyed poking a little fun at him whenever he would bring it up. See, I grew up in this area and was more of an outdoorsman than most of the adults. My grandfather had taught me how all this stuff worked in my skills in the outside, where other kids didn't really get it. So, as a teenager, my grandfather had enlisted and goes on, and it kind of goes into this. So, it tells this. A friend and I were cutting through the same patch of woods that divide to a dead-end street with lots of acres of woods. We were halfway through this patch, not saying much. Then we heard a raccoon scurry away. It was loud because it was early spring. No leaves were on the trees, and the last year's leaves were laying on the forest floor. It was dark, but our eyes had adjusted by then. So I'm walking ahead when I first hear what sounded like a heavy person jumping off of a wooden diving board. I stopped walking.
I know what that sounds like.
Look, right? I hear it every time I go to the pool. Looking and listening for the source. About 10 yards ahead and about 20 foot up in a full-grown oak tree, this branch is whipping like something heavy had jumped off. Reaching in my pockets to see if I had a pocket knife, which I didn't, I look back at my buddy real quick to tell him the first thing that came to my mind, which was probably a bobcat. He rolled his eyes at me and turned back to scan the ground. At that moment, out of the corner of my eye, while looking down, I see something diving from the tree. In disbelief, this huge owl is standing in front of us. I am 6'1". This owl is pushing 7 foot plus with outward curved ears. I guess it's, you know how the way the hair comes up and whips the feathers? Hair. The feathers come up and whip out.
I know what you mean.
Yep. And it says this right
here. 7 foot tall?
Another 7 footer. It had dull yellow eyes the size of baseballs with 3 to 4 inch thick black rings around its eyes, almost the size of volleyballs. Now, that's how big the head was. The chest looked like somebody had taken a sheet of silver and shredded it into shavings. They were the strangest feathers that I'd ever seen. I was mesmerized by the sight. My legs didn't work for the first time in my life. I must have been in shock. The owl was within 10 foot of grabbing me. My legs slowly started to work and I began to scramble backward, not wanting to take my eyes off this thing. I then bumped into a large tree, got quickly behind it. If I would have had a gun on me, I would have taken a shot at this thing. It backpedaled like a hummingbird, but sounded like a helicopter blade in the distance with no engine noise. It came around the tree to get me as I positioned myself in order to avoid it. I remember not wanting to take my eyes off of it, just in case it came back around again after me. I was looking for a log that I could swing at it if it had come back. I never looked at my friend's reaction. I told him to find a big stick as well, but he kept tapping my shoulder from behind me, telling me to look at something. I remember being more upset, thinking to myself, this is way more important. When I finally turned to him and noticed what he had looked like, 6 or more baby owls up in the tree, each about 3 foot in height. That was it. We ran like hell and got away. I felt fortunate that we got out of there in one piece, Jay.
Wow.
A giant, another giant
7 foot tall. Man, do you think?
I have no idea how you would explain a 7 foot
tall. What I'm saying, like maybe perspective though. Like sometimes you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you see these hunters' pictures, and if you frame it just right, you can make an animal look way larger than it actually is.
But if this thing's standing in front of you.
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem. Point. You know what I mean? It's not like a, you're not tricking your eye with a photograph. This thing is standing in front. Now, I would say, yeah, it would probably be in the dark. It would be hard to judge something size if it were up in the tree.
I'm not saying they're lying. I'm just saying it's hard to believe. Because according to the interwebs, the largest owl is like some Eurasian eagle owl, and it stands about 3.5 foot tall.
Yeah,
with a wingspan of 6.5 feet.
That's it.
So this thing's double that.
Double that. Yeah.
Wow.
Right? That's not all.
There's more. Oh, okay.
I've got another one. Jason says, about 23 years ago, well, I'm scratched that. I'm sorry. This is a different one. Around 1996, so yeah, there you go, I saw an extremely tall white owl standing on the side of an old country road. It was over 5 foot tall, and I'd never seen anything like it before. This was, y'all buckle up, in Pennsylvania. It was so scary. We were in a car. And I wanted to go back, but my ex was too afraid to turn the car around. Kept trying to convince me that it was a person in a costume. It definitely wasn't. Says this was in Western PA in Clinton, which I believe is in Beaver County. Said this thing looked exactly like a white owl, just huge.
I'm with their fiance or whatever. Like, I'd be like, we're not turning around. Just go.
Right.
Get out of here.
Right. Exactly.
I don't want to get anywhere close to that thing. And also, it'd be a terrible idea to dress yourself up in a owl outfit and just stand by a road.
100%. Another one from 2015.
Okay.
Person says, this was a tall, owl-like white humanoid. And said it was getting dark early fall around 7 p.m. My girlfriend, the roommate, and I were walking along some decommissioned train tracks surrounded by woods on both sides, just exploring a little between areas. Was an uncommon event. We were about 5 miles into the tracks and woods and were considering heading back since it was getting dark quick and none of us had a flashlight. I suddenly get the sensation of almost nausea-inducing dread. And I looked at both my friends who were with me and saw that they too were feeling something. Wide-eyed and looking around, let's start heading back, I declare. And they all just nodded. Now, mind you, we're doing just fine a second ago. Do this sort of thing all the time. All of a sudden, the fear hits us more than normal that something we're not prepared for, that we were prepared for, now we're not used to. Just as we turn around, we hear a strange sound that almost sounds like quieted thunder or metal hitting metal that was coming from what sounded way off in the distance. As we whip around to see what made the noise, a large white bird, what looked to be exactly like a large white owl, flew right over our heads in silence, flapping its wings, disappeared behind a big tree that was about 25 foot past us. We all looked at each other, trying to make sense of what we had just seen, we just heard, and started walking briskly back towards civilization. We again heard what sounded like twigs breaking in the woods behind us. My girlfriend and I turned around to see what made that noise. Peeking out from behind the tree was that owl, so it's now down on the ground, and what looked like an impossibly tall ghost owl, humanoid-shaped owl, solid white. Get a load of this one, with one hand on the tree. Before we could get a good look at its face, it quickly retreated back behind it out of our sight again. My girlfriend and I panicked, took off running. She opened her mouth. He said, don't say anything, just run. My roommate looked at us confused, clearly scared by what I had just said. So told him, look, we need to get back home at this point. Gone. I've told a few people this story and no one believes me. What I saw was not a normal owl. Let me be clear. It was a giant white owl standing behind a tree.
Yeah. See,
it flew down over them.
I wonder.
And then back behind the tree.
I wonder if any time these sightings happen, if these people experience missing time or anything like that. Like,
man,
I'm wondering if it's, you know, something imprinted into their memory that didn't really happen. Because your own mother saw a giant owl. Right? Yeah. At the end of her driveway.
Yeah, several years back, before she had ever heard any of this at all. She had never knew that never knew anything about the owls, the whole deal. And she just called me one day and she's like, hey, I just had, in the middle of just chatting, hey, I just had something funny happen. I'm like, what's that? Whatever she was doing outside, I don't know where she went that evening, by the barn or whatever it was that she was doing. She said she looked down in the driveway and their driveway wasn't super long. It was probably 75, 80 yards. Down the driveway, all gravel, white, kind of rolling off a hill. And so you could see, and they had a security light that's right out there by the carport and all that stuff. So you could see down there real well. And she said there was an owl down there. And now my mother has been into owls my whole life.
And even that's odd though, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe there's a reason why.
Yeah, there might be. I mean, into owls, like there were always, there's like carved owl carvings and she has owl paintings, all of this stuff. If they're made of stone or anything they're made of, she finds them. She has all kinds of owl stuff. So it was just funny, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And she's like, no, this owl was big. And right when she said that, I'm like, well, how big? You talking like a foot and a half, 2 foot, right, like a pretty good. She's like, no, like 3 foot or better. And right then I'm like, that's not a thing. And then she's like, yeah, this. So I think it ended up being closer to 4 foot when she went back down there by where it was standing.
Right.
The next morning and was like, oh, this thing's like a 4 foot, 3.5, 4 foot tall owl. Yeah. And then that's whenever we talked to Mike Cleland and I told him about it. Remember, I told him about the sighting and the whole deal. And he's like, yeah, that very possibly could have easily been an alien abduction story. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe
the sad thing is they brought her back.
And maybe
they took her and they brought her back.
Well, maybe her fascination is because she has a lifetime of being abducted and is just not aware of it.
Well, I'm glad it skipped this generation. They haven't taken me.
You
they
sure? Don't want, Are you
yeah,
sure?
Dude, look, nobody wants me. The aliens aren't going to take me. What are they going to learn? What not to do? They already know what not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. It that might be something that has happened to her and she doesn't even realize it.
Right. I think it happened. There's a lot of people that aren't aware of it.
Yeah.
And I've talked to some people that like think that something might happen, but they're like, I don't even want to go to a therapist and find out.
Yeah, I don't want to go.
I'd rather not know. And I'm the same way. I would not want to know.
Fair.
How are you ever going to sleep again?
Dude, no way. Yeah, I don't want to know.
Speaking of sleep.
Ignorance is bliss.
Speaking of sleep, check this out. Robert wrote in with a terrifying encounter he
Robert.
Had when one evening when in the 1990s, he said, I was a teenager. I woke up in the middle of the night and the door to my bedroom was open, although I never went to bed without closing and locking it. The light in the hall was on, which was also unusual. Standing in the doorway was a strange little man. He was shorter than the doorknob, so probably about 3 foot tall. He was oddly proportioned with a large head and nose, messy hair, and he had a bulgy appearance overall. He did not resemble a person with dwarfism. His features were too exaggerated to be human, and I never once thought of him as being so. My room being dark and the light in the hall being on, he was entirely backlit and appeared as a silhouette. He would move from time to time. He would shift his position or scratch himself. I stared at him for several minutes, rubbing my eyes and pinching myself, thinking that I was having a really vivid dream. But my impression was that I was quite awake. I was aware of the movement, and I was aware in this moment that this could have, perhaps even should be frightening, but I've had, for whatever reason, no fear of him whatsoever. I was then, and still am, extremely curious about him. My impression was that he was simply watching me. He seemed aware that I could see him, but neither of us said anything or attempted to interact with each other. It was like seeing a wild animal up close. I didn't want to do anything to frighten him away. I had a good long look and then decided the only thing to do was to go back to sleep. I closed my eyes and fell asleep knowing he was still there watching me. But again, I felt no fear, no discomfort. I admit this could have been an unusually vivid dream, but I don't believe it was. My recollection of it is being wide awake. I've thought of him since then, and I still am very curious about him, particularly as the region I grew up in does not have a strong tradition of fairy sightings, at least not as that I'm aware of. A lumpish little man about 3 foot tall, large head, nose, pot belly, strangely proportioned, may have been wearing a large cuffed shirt and had boots. I've had several strange experiences. All were unique and rather hard for me to classify. I heard about this survey, and this experience immediately came to my mind. Both during the encounter and now, I thought of him as being a funny little like dwarf man, but different from any that I've read about in fiction. Sometimes very strange things happen. I don't know what I saw, but it was a strangely proportioned small man like Cam standing in my bed.
Word.
At the end of my bed. And that was from Robert. So what was it? This like
me telling Robert, get up, Robert.
What was the guy in the movie The Labyrinth? The little gnomish guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I can't think of his name. It's not Bilbo, but that's Bilbo Baggins. That's a different story. But that's what I'm picturing. It's like this little dude, this little gnome guy's in his room. I understand that he didn't feel scared, but there's no way in hell I could just roll over and go back to sleep.
Just be like, if it gets me, it gets me.
Right? Either way, though, I do like the sightings of the Fae.
Owlman of Monon.
That's it, right?
That was what it was.
I remember we covered it years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We started talking about that. That was what it was. Yeah, folks, there's a bunch of wild owlman sightings. Speaking of wild, it's that time again for us to take a quick one. Once we bounce back on the other side of this break, we'll go ahead and wrap this puppy up, maybe drop a couple more creepy stories. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
What? One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
There we go, y'all.
Yes, and
there we go.
I got another one. Crazy. This is a Faye encounter.
More Faye stories?
I got another Faye encounter. I got to drop it on you.
Hit me with it. I got to hear it.
This comes from a woman named Megan, and she says, I wanted to tell you too about the crazy experience me and a friend had while we were playing one day in Pennsylvania. I was about 10 years old.
Wait a minute. Did you say Pennsylvania?
I did.
Something about that place, man.
I was about 10 years old, and it was my first year living in rural Pennsylvania. My friend and I were playing in the woods behind her house. We were pretty deep into the forest, exploring and playing pretend near a small creek. I'll never forget when out of nowhere we began to hear a woman's melodic voice singing in the woods. It didn't seem to be coming from any one direction, and it was quiet at first, slowly creeping up till it was eventually very loud. The haunting song ringing through the trees, filling every inch of the woods. We looked at one another, terrified, and started to run as fast as we could out of the forest and back to her house. The best thing I can think of to compare it to is the song from Sleeping Beauty that plays in the background as Maleficent leads Aurora to the spindle. There were no words to the singing we heard. It was a high-pitched, melodic sound. It was actually an incredibly beautiful voice, but something about the tone and melody chilled me to the core. I don't know for sure who or what the source of this voice was, but I'm absolutely certain that it was not of this world. A high-pitched, beautiful, haunting, and incredibly horrifying female singing voice that rang through the trees and seemed to completely fill the forest. It wasn't words or any kind of language that we knew. It was more melody. I know it's hard to explain. It just felt fey. It's so hard to explain, but it was so otherworldly. Beautiful, but terrifying. I believe in fairies 100%, but take great care not to offend them. I think some want to help humanity become better caretakers of the earth, while others are absolutely hate us for the damage we've done to the planet. Megan. Crazy, right? Now, I'm not familiar with the song in Sleeping Beauty, but I've heard of other times of people hearing this fey music, and it's often described as trying to draw you in, lure you in, beautiful sounding, but yet you don't understand the words because they're not speaking English, right?
Yeah.
Something completely different. I don't know.
That's what leads you away, leads you off the trail and into the other side.
I know that. Thank you, Megan, for that story. And thank you for causing us to make some new merch. I want a t-shirt that just says, it just felt fey.
It just felt fey. Yeah, we're doing it. Write that down. It just felt fey.
I'll get a hold of the boys. I'll get a hold of Hooper down at Sunday Cool to make
call
us
up the boys. Hooper and Double A. That's Andy and Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew's down there slinging sticks. Got him addicted to traditional archery. It's great. It's great. I got my hooks in him now. Yeah, yeah. Felt like fey. Man, the fey thing, it's one of my favorite topics.
Me too.
I can't help it. I think it's just
I think it's interesting.
Yeah, and I think there's like a romantic side to it that I enjoy that I didn't realize, you know, like that with that melodic noise that draws you in. When you were telling that story, it made me think of, oh, brother, where art thou?
Yeah.
When the sirens are down at the river.
Yeah.
Right, and you're just like, oh, and it just draws them down there to it. Like, it makes me think of that.
Well, and then there are a lot of the fey sightings are like they're like elementals, right? Like dryads or naiads or like water spirits. Like you have all different kinds of ones. And that's what, like when you were talking about, oh, brother, we're out there. That's what I think of. Those to me are like the water spirits, the elementals.
Yes.
That lurk, that linger and hang out around natural springs.
Your D&D brain is showing now.
I got another one for you. This was from a woman named Jess, and it happened to her and her daughter one evening. She says, my two-year-old daughter and I were sitting on the porch during a rain and thunderstorm in the middle of summer. It was pouring heavy sheets of rain. It was beautiful. All of a sudden, a small being that could have been an insect but didn't act or look like one flew into the cover of the porched area right above while we were sitting, looking down at us. There was a bright street light across the street illuminating it. I pointed it up and said to my daughter, look, do you see that fairy? And she says, yes. It fluttered for a moment in place and then disappeared into the shadow up high where a pillar held a tiny platform before holding up the roof of the porch. It was too high for us to get up there to look any further, but I kept my eye focused on the place I saw it go for a few minutes. I never saw something stir again. What I saw for those few moments, I guess, had to be between 2 to 3 inches tall with wings. It had a body, it had a head, it had arms and legs. It basically looked like if you just Googled fairy wings and you saw pictures of sprites, but that's what me and my daughter saw. And I don't know how to explain it. I'll tell other people about it. They always think I'm making it up, but I swear that's what we saw. Me and my daughter saw a pixie. So crazy, right? Just in the middle of a thunderstorm.
Dude, that's awesome.
I like that. There's several stories where people, they think that there are lightning bugs, and then they get a closer look at it, and it's not a lightning bug.
So, that's true. I forgot. Yes, there are a lot of those. I forgot about that.
They think they're lightning bugs, but they're not. And that's another thing. It's like, what are these things? Are these nature spirits? Are there differences? Are like the gnome-like dudes, are they... They're there to spread wisdom, where the pixies are there more about nature, Mother Nature taking care of things. And then there's the evil ones, right, that are trying to trick you, take you to the fairyland.
You think
there's
like a nature battle going on all the time?
Why not? I'd like to think so.
That might be something wild like that. Look, you've got to tell those. I've got one I'm going to leave you with.
Okay.
Took place in the Perm region of Russia in 1989 on July 19th, late at night. As the witness slept in her apartment, she suddenly awoke to a strange, oppressive atmosphere surrounding her. She opened her eyes and saw a humanoid figure bending down over her. The figure was short, about 130 centimeters. What is that? That's just shy of 5 feet. Said it looked intently at the witness. It had a grayish-green, pale facial complexion and large, dark, pupilless eyes. Heavy skin folds covered the head and body of the creature. It had what appeared to be a thin beard and looked elderly. A second humanoid now appeared next to the first one. This one was somewhat shorter and appeared younger. Both resembled aged gnomes. Both figures then floated back from the bed and vanished. At this point, what appeared to be a tennis ball-sized sphere of light emerged in their place. The sphere disappeared into the next room and then flew off out an open window. I tell you that because I want to think of this. When you were talking about the fairies, could all of these things be alien? Or could they have, could they be mistaken for alien? Because this sounds like the Greys messing with people.
Yeah, it could be. Right? I mean, there's people that have theorized that before, that when you hear all these ancient stories, like you go to Scandinavia and they have all these stories, that really all that is that that was their interpretation of alien abduction, right? Or maybe they imprinted those false memories back then, or maybe they still do today. And certain extraterrestrials disguise themselves as owls. A different group of extraterrestrials from a different planet or solar system, they imprint the memories of these little people or sprites or pixies.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have heard crazy things like that. If you have any crazy things or you have any theories you'd like to share with me and Cam and the listeners, don't hesitate. You can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline, 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD. We would love to hear your stories. Do you have any ideas for possible merch? submit that too, of course. Silly fun, you know, make them fun.
If you haven't rated and reviewed the show on whatever you're listening on, do that too.
Yeah, help us out, right?
Fire it up.
Let's not forget our wonderful sponsor, ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. So stop putting off those doctor appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/expanded. That's ZocDoc.com/expanded. And IQ Bar, they're offering a special offer for podcast listeners. 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text EXPANDED expanded to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. Cam?
Yes, sir.
While the weather is still beautiful and it's not 2,000 degrees out, what do you got planned?
I don't know, but it's going to be outside.
Do you have an outfit that you wear to the Renaissance Fair now that we're back? I thought of that.
No, but you know what?
You should do the gnome.
Well, I think I'm going to for next year, and here's why. So I have a good buddy of mine that works there. He's worked there for the last few years, and he's extremely crafty. He's one of those dudes that he's always been able to do all this stuff. And he ended up getting into doing, you know, I forgot what, he does all kinds of crazy stuff. But I was talking to him about it, and he's one of those guys that's awesome at building cosplay stuff. And I want to build, like, that foam armor to look like one of the dwarves in Lord of the Rings. Oh, but where you got the heavy foam armor, where it looks real, and you got the big boots, right? And the big, and then you've seen them when they make the fake beards and the fake hair, where it almost looks like it's yarn or whatnot, where it's all the, hangs down real far. I'm thinking about doing like something Gimlet. Like, yes, and I'm thinking about doing something along those
lines. You should,
lines
you really should.
For next year.
I mean, you almost look like him already.
I'm pretty close to it as it is now, yes.
Only if you're not going to do that, then be the archer and take like that Osage orange bow we have.
There you
go. And carry around
be
that.
Like, yeah, but
the metalworks would be better.
We did talk about it. I wanted to do it like that to look like something crazy because I know I think everybody in the family is talking about dressing up for next year.
Yeah, we had talked about it doing it too.
It would be a good time.
Do you take you a stein with you or a horn to drink out of when you're there? Because I see lots of people doing that.
Well, and I found out, well, lots of times they'll give you deals when you go to those places to get your drinks. You'll get deals on a lot from a lot of them, like for refills and what. So you're not, they're not wasting the cup and all. That's why most all the people that work there or that are just there all day carry their own mugs with them. I did look at the mugs. I did look at an ale horn. I don't have either, but I mean, I might. I mean, it's.
I'm just wondering.
It's a good time. Like I said, I enjoy it just sitting around there. It's just a fun place to hang out.
Did you go to the gaming shop?
I just made a little quick soiree through there. I didn't spend long in there. I went down and watched. I mean, we tried to cover everything.
Did you get your beeswax when you come in the front gate and make a right? Oh, he's got it here. Holy cow, that's a lot of bees.
I bought a pound of it. I got a 1 pound brick of beeswax.
And you got enough there, you'll be waxing. Yes, I'll be waxing till the end of the day.
I still have the ones that you brought last year and then the ones that I got you for the year before. Like, dude, I've got beeswax, but I can't not buy beeswax.
Yeah, it's a good thing to have, right?
It's great. You can use it for all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I enjoy it. But, yeah, that's as far as your question, yes, I will be dressing up, and I'm going to be doing everything I can outside this
week. Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. All right. I hope everybody has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.